Welcome to the Calvary Chapel South Bay Sermon Podcast. We are a large, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church in Los Angeles, California, and we'd love to have you visit us for a service if you're in the LA area. Visit ccsouthbay.org to learn more about us and to find out service times. If you have any questions, shoot us an email at hello@ccsouthbay.org. Enjoy today's sermon, and we hope to see you at church soon.
I pray that everyone has brought their Bible, and if you have, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the seat back pocket there in front of you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, today is Good Friday. It's a day the church has thought about, pondered, considered and memorialized as we think about the fact that you died on the cross for us. That you took the sin that was on us, the stain, the crimson stain, and you washed us white as snow. And though sin may be in us because we struggle in this flesh, you have cleaned us, paid the price, and now we stand righteous before God the Father because of you. Your church says thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's Good Friday. The great theologian D.A. Carson, he says it was not nails that held Jesus to the wretched cross. It was his unqualified resolution out of love for his Father's will. And it was his love for a sinner like me. Jesus made it very clear when he was talking to his disciples in that last great sermon, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. It's John chapter 15, verse 13. You see, that means exactly what D.A. Carson said. His love for us held him on the cross. Paul, when he was writing to the Roman church, who he was not ashamed of the gospel, and he said this, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's called Good Friday because the goodness of God is displayed in the midst of the worst of humanity. Jealousy, bitterness, anger, rage had filled Jerusalem with a dark shroud of the worst kind of evil. The Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jews, they wanted Jesus dead. You know what his crime was? He was good. That was his crime. He did good on the Sabbath by healing a lame man, and they wanted him dead. He did good. He did good by healing a blind man, and they wanted to murder him. His crime was that he was good. He did good by calling them out for making the temple a mall of merchandise instead of a house of worship, so they wanted to crucify him. Truly, that Jesus would die for those in such darkness, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But church, can I tell you, it was not just his enemy that he died for. John tells us he loved his disciples. And in fact, in John chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says that he loved them to the end. His unconditional love for them held him on that cross as well. And for almost 3 years, they followed Jesus. I mean, they watched him feed the 5,000. They saw him walk on the water, heal the lame, the blind, and the lepers. They were there when he calmed the storm, and they saw legion get cast out of a man. But in Jesus' greatest hour of need, was their worst hour as his friend. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, he takes three of his friends, his companions, and he says to them, listen to the anguish. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Let me tell you what he's saying. I'm so sad I could die. Stay here and watch with me. There's nothing like having a friend around when you're sad. There's nothing like having someone walk into your room when you just got bad news. There's nothing like someone driving over and just sitting in your living room with you. I've always said the best ministry to someone who is sad is simply to care and be there. And all he did was ask his disciples, his companions, who had watched him do so many things, could you just care? Could you just be there for me? Can you labor with me in this agony? And they failed. So God, he sent angels to be there for Jesus. He came back after a time of prayer and he exhorts them to watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. The Bible said he spoke to them and said, the spirit is willing. I know you want to pray, but the flesh is so weak. Now, we can't blame them. They just ate a Thanksgiving meal. You know how you feel after Thanksgiving. You just want to roll over on the couch and die. And there they are after the Passover meal. They're passing out. They can't stay awake in prayer. Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever just closed your eyes and folded your hands and bowed your head? That's why when you see all the people in the Bible praying, including Jesus, that they lift their heads and their eyes to heaven and stretch out their arms. They love the Lord their God with all their strength instead of taking the relaxing moment. Instead of laboring with him in prayer, they fell prone and fell asleep. And on his third approach to them, he says, are you still sleeping? Are you still resting? Rise, let us be going. It is for those disciples that were not there for him when he needed him. It was for those that he died. Church, are you sleeping? Church, are you resting? Oh, I'm not talking about my sermon. My neighbor said to me, I don't know if you've ever seen Mike Huckabee on the news with relaxing sleep. My neighbor said to me this morning, he goes, I'm thinking about you for Easter. And I said, what do you mean? Well, I'm thinking about recording your message, and then I'm going to call Mike Huckabee and let him play it when he does relaxium sleep. And maybe with your message and relaxium sleep, people will just pass right out. I love my neighbor. I said, Fred, thanks for the encouragement. God bless you. Church, are you sleeping? I'm not talking about my message. Church, are you resting? Because no lack of passion brought Jesus to walk up to that hill for you and me. He was passionate. And I know that your spirit is willing and you want to give Jesus everything you've got. But I've got a question. Have you let your flesh grown weak? Have you given in to the works of the flesh like lusts or drugs, hatred, jealousy, anger? Have you given in to selfishness or contentions or even drunkenness? Church, can I tell you, it's for you he died. And he beckons the church to rise up, to wake up out of our sleep, because it's what he's calling us to in the 21st century. It's for you he died. John 18:10 reveals, after Peter fell asleep, how he wanted to recover. And when they came for him in the garden, Peter, well, he had to recover from falling asleep. And so when they came for him in the garden, Peter took out a sword and he cut off Malchus's ear. Oh, maybe he wanted to show the strength of his spirit. Peter, oh, Jesus, I'm for you. Maybe he wanted to reveal that Jesus was wrong. When I told you that I would lay my life down for you, Jesus, I meant it. What's this whole deny you three times thing? I'm going to defend you, Jesus, and I'm going to cut off his ear. Peter, you're a fisherman, not a soldier. One thing's for certain. Peter's spirit was weak, and he was acting very strongly in his flesh. You see, Jesus had taught Peter over the course of his ministry to love his enemy, to bless his enemy, to do good, and to pray for them. He showed Peter by loving on the Roman centurion's servant. Rome was an enemy to the Jewish state. And he showed Peter by healing the Roman centurion's servant how to love your enemy. He even ate at Simon the Pharisee's house, who wanted to kill him. He ate at Simon's the Pharisee's house, and when the woman came weeping at his feet, he forgave her. And he said, go sin no more. No time in the ministry of Jesus did he set an example of hurting people, of maiming people, cutting anyone's ear off, or killing someone. No, Jesus was not about killing people. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He expects the world to act like the world. That's why he came to save us from ourselves. Yeah, Peter, he didn't come to seek and to save the lost. He came to prove his point. You remember what he said there at the Seder meal, at the Passover? He said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And he cut off Malchus's ear. And while Jesus was putting back on the ear in some spiritual surgical maneuver, he looked at Peter and said, hey, Peter, put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? How could the scripture be fulfilled? It must be fulfilled. You see, Jesus was committed to do God's will no matter what, but Peter was committed to do his own. Sound familiar? Peter, I died for you. Church, are you cutting off people's ears? For the sake of your will, have you forsaken not my will, but yours be done? Do people sense his way of grace and truth from your ministry style or the affliction of legalism? This is right and this is wrong. Do it my way. Church, are you cutting off ears to the gospel because of your own behavior, your own conduct, or maybe even blaming God for your personality when that's all on you? Church, it's for you he died. Well, the pain, it must have been in the garden when all the disciples forsook him and fled. Mark tells us in chapter 14, verse 50, they all forsook him and fled. I mean, Jesus fed them. He protected them. He cared for them. He tended them as tenderly as the good shepherd of the sheep. He challenged them to grow and become what God intended them to be, like a good parent. He saved them from a storm. He healed their own family members, and he gave them a new life. Now, in his greatest hour of need, they left him alone, and they ran in fear. The Bible says that after they ran away, there was one hope in one young man. But in Mark chapter 14, verse 51, this one young man, now a certain young man, we know him to be John Mark, followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. In other words, he jumped up out of bed to go rescue Jesus when he heard what was going on, so he just covered himself in his bed sheet. And the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. I understand this. I've actually done it before, believe it or not. During the war in Liberia, we had to haul our water up from the well up to my house in a bucket. And one day I got tired of hauling water I went down to the well, I filled two buckets of water up, and I'd have to walk up to my house, uphill, pour the water in a big barrel, then go back down to the well. I had to do this, and it took an hour and a half. One day I just decided I'm not going to do it. So I broke curfew during the war. I went down with my little bucket and my soap and my towel. I stripped buck naked there at night. I took a bath until I started hearing the soldiers. All of a sudden, they started shooting at me. Literally. I took off up that hill, ran across the mission, and a 78-year-old missionary woman screamed out her window, "Now, Chet, is that you?" I didn't go to her house for a week. They all forsook him. It was for his disciples that forsook him and fled, of which he died. Not just the enemy. Church, have you ever forsaken and run from the Lord? Has he been going towards the cross and it was too much for you? Does your life look a little bit more like the world, or are you an ambassador of the word? Have you ever chosen the temporal over the eternal? Have you not gone the second mile or turned the other cheek, given the coat off your back, or chosen to love your enemy? Church, it's for us. He died. See, sometimes I think it's for, we come to church on a Good Friday and we think it's for all those other people that he died. He died for me. Coming to himself after he ran away, Peter follows after Jesus, after John. But the Bible says in Mark chapter 14, verse 54, that Peter followed at a distance. He remained safe. Safe. John lets us know that his family was friends with the high priest, so John was able to get Peter inside. And as the servant girl who was watching the door lets Peter in, she looks at him and says, "Are you not one of his disciples?" He adamantly denied. Jesus was being interrogated and beaten there inside that courtroom. Peter was warming himself by the fire. He wanted to be safe. He wanted to be secure. He didn't want to put his life or faith on the line. But while he was there, another questioned him. And then another. And he denied the second time. He denied the third time. And just as Jesus said, the rooster crowed. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 61, when the rooster crowed, the Bible says that Jesus looked at him as if to say, "It's for you I'm going to die." Church, have your actions ever denied the Lord? Has the Spirit ever convicted you to do something and you didn't do it? Hello? Has the Spirit ever convicted you not to do something and you did it? Like the Apostle Paul, who cried out, struggling with this very thing, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Church, it's for us he died. Well, on the fateful day, he carried his cross up Calvary's hill, beaten and scorned. And while the crowd watched in anguish, this crowd that said, "Hosanna," as they watched in anguish, they did absolutely nothing to help. He bore the weight of the cross on his own. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers, realizing that he wouldn't survive the climb, they forced Simon the Cyrenian to carry his cross. And I don't know if it was an empathetic moment or it was a desire for the Romans to see Jesus just suffer a little bit longer, but at least the soldiers did more for him. At least the soldiers did more for him in that moment than those who said they were followers. By Roman law, if a soldier asked you to go 1 mile, you were forced to do it in an occupied territory. This is why Jesus said to go the second mile. It was for Simon the Cyrenian that Jesus was dying. Church, do you ever feel forced to carry your cross? Is it a burden that gets in the way of the life that you desire? Or is it your desire to pick up your cross and be like the Lord? Would you rather the comfort and convenience of simply watching the scene and seeing this Good Friday moment, or have you been willing to pick up your cross daily and follow Him? How many times in our Christian walk have we chosen the life of convenience over conviction? Hey, church. It's for you he died. Finally, we see him at the cross. He's alone, forsaken by the Father as the sin of the world was laid upon him. The earth shook, the day was darkened, and the crowd was mocking and jeering. Even the women who were there at the foot of the cross, they couldn't take it any longer. And in Luke chapter 23, would you look at verse 44? Luke chapter 23, verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, 3 o'clock, when the Passover lamb would have to die. And there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, look at that, he cried out with a loud voice. I want everyone to hear this. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. What a shame that God used the world because the church had forsaken him. The whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, they beat their breast and returned. They were emotional about it, but they left him on the cross. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee, they stood at a distance watching these things. No longer were these ladies at the foot of the cross, Mary and Salome and Mary and John. No, now they're watching from a distance as Jesus takes his last breath. Matthew, when he records this very same event in chapter 27, verse 55, the Bible says they were looking from afar, but not just them, all of his acquaintances, his friends. His family, his disciples, not one of them was with him. They watched from afar. They saw him get beat. They saw him climb the hill. And from a distance, they watched him nailed to the tree and they watched him die. And while they stood afar off, while they stood at a distance, Jesus was saying in a loud voice, because I believe he wanted them to hear him say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He was pursuing them with his mercy, despite the fact that they had forsaken him. He said, today, you will be with me in paradise, to a robber that mocked him and spit on him. Because I believe he wanted his disciples to know, the same grace I'm pouring out on this man, I'm pursuing you with grace despite the fact that you're so undeserving of it. And then he said, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. As he's expressed that they were spiritual family despite the fact that the rest of them were distancing themselves. He cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because I believe he was letting those who were standing at a distance know of his humanity so that they would realize that he can sympathize with their weaknesses and come back to him. Do you remember what he told Peter? Hey, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. And when you return, in other words, you're going to mess up. When you return, in other words, I'm going to receive you. Strengthen your brethren. He screamed out loud, I thirst. And as they stood at a distance, as they heard his purpose to fulfill Scripture, he was teaching them even on the cross, fulfill Scripture no matter the cost. For Jesus knew, Psalm 69, verse 21, that he would thirst and they would give him vinegar to drink. On the cross, he knew Psalm 69, and he thirsted to fulfill Scripture. He was teaching those at a distance. And then he said, it is finished. He wanted them to know, I lived the life you couldn't live. And I'm dying the death that we deserve. And the very last thing that he says with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Do you hear, church, what he's saying? He was making those who stood at a distance hear that he had confidence of his resurrection despite their doubt and their disbelief. The cup had passed. The price was being paid. He's letting them know, I'm dying for you, but I will rise again. Church, can you hear his voice today? Listen to what he says. Not only did I die for the world, I died for you. You see, that's what makes it Good Friday. Because he paid a price we couldn't pay. He removed the sin that was on us. But we still live in this world. We still struggle with this flesh. There is still sin in us. John, when he was writing the church, he said, can you believe? He goes, beloved, how great is the love of the Father that he should love us. And then he says, if you say that you're without sin, you're a liar. He was speaking to the church. You see, church, he died for you. Even when you were saved and sanctified, his death covers over you, but his death also convicts you. You've been made righteous, and his spirit is convicting you to stay righteous. He died for you. He died for me. Would you pray with me? In just a moment, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. They're going to wait for right now. But church, you need to hear the message. He died for you, and we're about to remember that death. And I wonder, are any of you running from the Lord? Are any of you forsaking him? Would you like your cross to be cut in half because the one he's given you is just too heavy to carry? Are you like Peter? Your spirit is willing. You want to pray. But instead of feeding your spirit, you've been feeding your flesh. And your flesh is stronger than your spirit. You can feel it in your prayer life, your devotional life, the way you serve. Church, he died for you. So we have an opportunity because of his death to get right with God. So here's what's happening. The Spirit is speaking to you right now. Get right with Jesus. The Spirit is ministering to you right now. Jesus died for that sin that you're struggling with. You don't have to follow the cycle of sin. I know you want to get out of it, but you're doing it in your flesh. You're like Peter, trying to prove, I will lay my life down, when all you have to do is surrender and ask me for the power of my Spirit. Church, do people at work know you as a Christian? At school, where you go grocery shopping, or by your attitude and behavior, have you cut the ears off of people so that they can't even hear the gospel from you? The Spirit is pleading with you. It's time to get right with God. Church, he died for you. Peter denied him 3 times. Don't deny the Spirit from working in your life right now. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Surrender. And when anyone wants to surrender, they wave up the white flag. They put their hands up. And they let the enemy know. They let the person know that they're surrendering to. I give in. I'm making myself vulnerable. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Jesus isn't your enemy, but he's asking you to surrender. He's asking you, just lift up your hands and say, I surrender. And if that's you, church, tonight, and the Spirit is convicting you, don't deny him. Would you just lift your hand and surrender and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? It's time for me to make it right with God. It's time for me to surrender this fleshly behavior. It's time for me to stop denying him, running from my calling, forsaking him. Just leave your hand up and surrender. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for every hand that's lifted. Would you, by the power of your Spirit, give them the ability to pick up their cross daily and follow you? Would you empower us, Lord, to recognize you died for us? That's why we can make it right with you now. You knew we couldn't be perfect, so you were perfect for us. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our ushers are going to be coming forward. And here's what just happened. You just made it right with God. And now we have an opportunity to remember him. The beauty of remembering the Lord is remembering he lived a life we couldn't live. God required perfection. And none of us are perfect. Just visit our nursery. If you think you've lived a good life, at one time you were too. Amen. And then he substituted himself after fulfilling the requirement of living a sinless life. He was the only one who's ever done it because he's God. He's the only one that could do it. He's the only one that could offer himself as a substitute. And he died on the cross. He fulfilled Scripture. Scripture said in the book of Isaiah that he would be pierced and he was nailed to a cross. And then Jesus, he conquered death. And he rose from the grave 3 days later. We get to celebrate that on Sunday. But before he died, there's something that he instituted in the church that he didn't want the disciples to forget, though they didn't understand it at the time. They did not know what was about to happen within 24 hours. But he never wanted them to forget. Because he knows humanity, we are very quick to forget. Some of us will have a spiritual moment, and then all of a sudden we will go in the parking lot at Calvary Chapel South Bay, and our spirituality gets thrown right out the door. He knows, amen. He knows we're quick to forget. So he says, I want you to remember me. And I want you to do this on a regular basis. He said, you see this? He broke the bread. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And as long as you eat this, I want you to remember me. And I know sometimes as Gentiles, we don't understand that Passover meal experience. But to a Jew, the disciples had heard him say in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. I'm your full satisfaction. And he took that bread and broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then he took that great cup of redemption, the third cup of the Passover meal. And he said, This is my blood, which is shed for you. As long as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Some of you might be sitting there saying, okay, Chet, we've heard this. Can we just eat and drink? And month after month, you've heard it time and time again. And if it's become old to you, it's possible that your flesh has gotten stronger and your spirit has gotten weaker. Walking with the Lord since I was 6 years old, and every time I take communion, it gets newer and newer and newer and fresher and fresher and fresher, because the older I get in the Lord, the more I realize how much I need to remember him. So church, would you take and eat and remember the Lord? Would you take and drink and remember that the blood of Jesus was shed for us? Father, it's Good Friday. And it's amazing to me that we look at it from our perspective. It's good because of what you did for us, but from your perspective, your friends deserted you and forsook you, just like we do sometimes. Peter denied you, just like we do sometimes. But like D.A. Carson said, it was your love for us that kept you on that cross. And I personally want to tell you thank you from the bottom of my heart. You didn't come down. Because I'm a sinner, saved by grace. And I want to never forget. I want to remember you. Would you just personally thank Jesus? Just thank him in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you have any questions or just want to check us out, make sure to visit us at ccsouthbay.org. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.